And then this other idea of continuance, that we're called to run this race, we're called to endure. So we don't just kind of step over the line and say, okay, I'm saved now. You know, we need to continue this journey of faith. So that's what belief looks like. It's not just believing that God is who He says He is. It's about taking that belief, applying it to our hearts, and then walking along that journey. Okay, so that's really important how we understand, because I know just when I grew up, the verse that I was always told, John 3:16, it's by believing that you will be saved. And that is true. That is true, but we need to understand what is belief. It's not just a Jesus, I believe who you are. It's Jesus, I believe, and I'm choosing. I'm really choosing to follow you as well. Okay, if we can move to the next one, Pam. So this is another verse that's really been strong in my heart over these last 2 or 3 years. And it's in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And this is what it says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. That's a nice picture. Not like the picture of that house behind there. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. What's interesting for me is that both these people, they're both building houses. They're both building something. They both think it's a good idea to build where they did. But in the second case, when the rains and floods come, the trouble that comes in our lives, the challenges that come our way, and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And for me, if we go back to what it means to believe, if we just stop here at credence, we believe God is who He said He was, and we stop there, that is not a sure foundation, guys. Can you see that that really is not a sure foundation? A sure foundation is when we believe what Jesus says and then we obey. So for me, and for a long time, I always read that verse and thought, I believe in Jesus, I've got a solid foundation. And it isn't believing Jesus that we have a sure foundation, but that belief is this belief. It's not just a belief in who Jesus is. Okay, just another, I'm going to show you lots of pictures today, and I think it's amazing in the Word that Jesus spoke a lot in parables, He showed a lot of pictures or spoke about things that His disciples could really understand. And in Matthew 5, another verse about what it means to be a Christian. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So that's a picture. We are called as Christians to be salt. And salt is something that can be tasted, right? So it talks about here, Jesus is saying, is that if salt loses its saltiness. And I just did a little bit of research about salt, and we all know it's sodium chloride is salt. You can't, salt, if it's really real salt, cannot lose its saltiness. It would have to be fake salt. Does that make sense? So I think what Jesus is saying really is that as His church, we to be salty. We to be salty. And if we are salty, we are born again as well. So there's an outward working as we follow Jesus that we are salty. We're different. And also the next thing that He says is you're the light of the world. So we will shine for Him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. So I think the truth of the matter is that real faith shows. Would you guys agree with me? Real faith has to show. It shows in saltiness. It shows in a change in our lives. It shows in obedience. It shows in many ways. So if you are looking at your own life and say, well, nothing's changed over the last 20 years. I'm exactly the same as I was. Then ask your question, are you stuck here and just believing that God exists? Or have you chosen to make Him Lord of your life? And as you do that, suddenly things will change. Things really will change. Okay, so just I wanted to explore a little bit more. What is a life of following Jesus really look like? Okay, we Christians, we're following Jesus. What is his pattern? What is the expectation that he has of us in terms of how we're going to look as we take this walk of faith with him? So the first verse I have up there is 1 John 2 verse 6. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So I think simply put, we're all called to follow Jesus, right? And there's a lot that goes into that. And I think, you know, if we wanted to know what does it look like, we should really understand what is Jesus' example, what does it mean to follow him? But I think the reality is that if we hear something like that, it deflates us. Live like Jesus did. How on earth am I supposed to do that? And the reality is we're not God. And right now I'm not living like Jesus did. But I think what he's calling us to do is to, as we get transformed, is to live like him and to follow his lead, follow his example. So what is God's expectation of us then? So we're called to walk a life that follows that of Jesus, but what does it look like practically for us? Should we just be sitting around deflated that we continue to struggle with sin, that we continue to struggle to love our spouses the way we do, that we get angry sometimes? Should we just be deflated and give up? Or what is God's expectation of us? Because I certainly know in my life there are things that I struggle with, and sometimes you just feel like giving up. You say, well, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. Why am I still struggling like this? Why are there these things in my life still that are not things that Jesus would be proud of? So I'd like to take us through some practical illustrations of faith that Jesus speaks about in his word. Okay, so here's a pretty cool one from Mark 4:26-29. It's another example of Jesus talking about what faith looks like. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God, and that's what we're talking about, is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. And just for me, what stands out about that is that a crop is something that grows. It starts out as a little seed that the farmer places in the ground, in a sense like when we first hear about Jesus. When you make a commitment to follow, and there's a seed of faith that is planted in us. But faith grows. Like a plant will grow, faith and its actions, its outworkings will grow in our lives. Another one that you probably all know very, very well is from John 15:5-8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings glory to my Father. So again, can you see that there's this expectation of growth? There's an expectation of growth. This is an example of what Jesus said. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. It looks like growth. It looks like change. Another example from Luke 13:18-21. Let's talk about this one first on the left. Then Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches. So from small, littlest mustard seed, apparently one of the smallest seeds, to a massive tree that birds and stuff can roost in. That's a massive transformation. That's a big change. So that's what the kingdom of God looks like. And Jesus, I don't believe that Jesus is just talking about the kingdom of God in fluffy terms. He's talking about the kingdom of God in our lives. That's what our life is supposed to look like. God's expecting to see transformation in us. Then he goes on to say it is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So when something permeates, it starts off in one place and over time it spreads to the whole thing. So again, can you see it's a transformation, it's a growth, it's a change, is what Jesus is expecting from us. Okay, so really hope you guys understand that a true faith, a true belief, as we step into the belief where we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and we make a commitment to follow him, looks like transformation. We will not be the same. Jesus will transform us to be more and more like him if we keep on drawing close to him. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I think that's the biggest challenge for us, is that actually we live in a world that is fast, that draws us away from God constantly. And you know, if we're going to stay in that world, we're not going to be transformed. So the biggest thing fighting against this is what's going on around us, really, and all the challenges of life. But we're called to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, our mind, so that we may be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect to God. And then Proverbs 4 that I've got up on the screen. "The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day." Shines ever brighter. Can you see again this concept of Jesus is calling us for more? There's more. A shining brighter. Not a shining a little bit and just stuck there. He's wanting us to shine brighter. There's a change that can be expected as we're following him. And just a little graphic I've got there is just an example of as we move from credence into real belief. We go through the door. We trust Jesus as the door to eternal life, and then there's this narrow road. And really what he's wanting to see is some transformation, a change in us. Like a spiral, and you know, you could take the example of, say, some area of your life, anger or some sort of sin that you're struggling with. When we come to Jesus, we are who we are, and we're all messed up sinners. That's the truth of it. But God's wanting us to move us from messed up sinners to be more and more like Jesus. So that's what, for me, it's just quite a useful example, that actually, like a spiral, God's wanting to take us along this journey. As we take this narrow road, the journey is going to look like we're going to be getting more and more like Jesus as we follow him. Okay, so what I want to do is just to take that illustration of change and just apply it to two areas of our lives around how transformation is expected to happen. And the first one is dealing with sin. And if we read from Acts 20:21, it says, "I have had one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having a faith in our Lord Jesus." So the idea of repentance, guys, is something that is just so fundamental in the Christian faith. And if you go right back to the Old Testament, always God was calling his people to repent. So repentance is a turning of our ways, it's a change. So I would argue that if you put it along that continuum of walking through the door, opening the door of faith, accepting Jesus into your life, and then walking this narrow road, the way we deal with sin looks like that triangle. It starts off with a lot of sin in our lives, but as we follow Jesus, there is less and less. So I would say that is Jesus' expectation of us. That's a picture he would love to paint in our lives. I'm not saying it's there for me, I'm not saying it's there for you, but that's what he wants to paint in us. He wants us to look like that. He wants to see us transformed, he wants to see us changed to be more like him. I just want to read another verse, if we can go to the next one. Pam, 1 John 2, 3 and 6. "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth." These are quite harsh words, aren't they? I certainly haven't heard this preached in church often. We often don't want to talk about these things, but these are harsh words that Jesus is expecting transformation in us. "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." So obedience will follow our relationship with God. As we follow Jesus, transformation will happen. I'm going to read another verse from 1 John 3, 7 to 9. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning, because they are children of God. So the scripture really speaks to a heart change. He's wanting us to sin less and less as we follow him. And reading from Ephesians 5:3-9, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, they're not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light will within you produces only what is good and right and true. So when we read those verses and we see the calling is a high calling. It's to be like Jesus who was pure. But I think we must be encouraged as well that what Jesus is not saying is that unless we're 100% pure, we're not going to be able to step into heaven one day. His call is to be like Jesus, but he's wanting to see this transformation in us. And that's the call. It's a call to be more holy as we follow Jesus. So is that clear that there's this expectation of Jesus that over time, as we walk in him, our lives will change? The sin in us will get less and less. That's the expectation. And God's Holy Spirit can work that out in us. The next aspect I want to talk about is growing in love. So this is kind of the triangles the other way. And I think it's very clear in Jesus' life that his life was a life full of love. And that's what he's calling us to as well. If we read from Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, imitate God therefore in everything you do because you are his dear children. So imitate God, be like Jesus. Live a life full with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And then 1 John 4 that I've got up on the screen. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. I like that. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So it's not perfect, it grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Another verse, 1 John 3, 18 and 19. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. So in the same way that God is asking us to change in terms of our sin, the sin that we deal with in our life, his expectation is that, and his Holy Spirit is there to help us to sin less and less. His expectation is also for our love to grow, for one another in the church, how we love and relate to one another, but also how that then translates into the world, that we should be having an impact on the people around us. It's not just living out for ourselves, we're living for others as well. And this is just it's a hang of a challenging picture for me. But imagine if 78% of people who profess that they're Christians live like that. Imagine if we all lived like that. And I really believe that's the picture that God has for the church. He wants us to be a city on a hill, a light for him. And so it's an amazing picture that he's painted. So just to conclude, that's my last slide there, Pam. If you put those together, for me, that's just maybe another picture. We've got all those illustrations of crops growing, a solid foundation. Another picture could be two triangles that intersect together, that really represents what God is wanting His church to be. He's wanting us to shine for Him. And just when I was thinking about this, I thought it was interesting that is the Star of David as well. And as the example, you see that on the cross of Israel. These two triangles that intersect. And I just think for us, it's maybe just a useful illustration of God's expectation of us. And I think where we so get disappointed is that when others let us down, because we look at them and say, you don't look like that. You say you're a Christian, but you don't look like that. And we can really get quite disappointed with people. But at the same time, we know that we're also on that journey. And it's not a straightforward journey of transformation either. There are ups and downs. But I think let's see that as where God is calling us. And as a church, what we really believe is our vision is for God to help us to grow wholehearted followers of Jesus. God wants us to be people that shine for Him. So can I really just encourage us, guys, let's go on this journey. Let's commit to this journey of transformation. I'm sure most of you guys are. And we need the Holy Spirit to come and help us. There's lots that's needed to help us to take this journey, and I'll speak a bit about that next week. But I just thought that's a picture for us, just to maybe take home and to mull over. If you're wondering, what is it that Jesus wants me to do? How does He want me to live? He wants us to live like that. So if we're not living like that, then let's go back to Jesus and say, won't You help me, Jesus? Won't You help me to live more like You? Okay, so I think let's just close in prayer. Jesus, I just want to thank You so much for all the parables and the stories that You told. You told them, Lord, because You want us to understand. And You don't want us to get the wrong end of the stick. You want us to understand what You're calling us to, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we understand that is not a shallow faith. It's not just a belief in You. It's a life that we choose to die to ourselves and to surrender ourselves to You. And as we do that, life change will happen. Transformation will happen, Lord. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that for each of us here, that You would just call us just to turn to You. And Jesus, as a church, we want it to be a church that reflects You, that is full of love, that is becoming more and more holy, and Lord, that is making an impact on in the community around us. And Jesus, so we know that for us to shine, for Your church to shine, it means for each of us to shine. Because we are the church. We like those living stones. We're not just stones in a building. We're living stones that You want to use. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that in the years ahead, that You continue just to make us shine more for You. So I just commit that for myself, Lord, that You really would continue to change me and continue to change each of us, Lord, as we look to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Doug, for that encouraging word. And the ministry really has been today about growing in confidence and going through your walk with the Lord and getting to that place where Jesus can say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. What an incredible acclamation that'll be for us. So anybody that would like to come up for prayer, please do so now. And for the rest of us, let's go and enjoy coffee and tea together.